Triple Option in studios this week, taking a break from Purdue, for the most part, in Indianapolis. We're going to talk about bowls. We do have some small things to touch on, though, starting off with the Purdue football schedule going forward. This week, they made announcements because they have the whole shebang with Notre Dame, where they're going to play Notre Dame and Indy, and then they take, like, 6 years off. But the big announcements were they're going to play a home-and-home with Missouri in 2016 and 17. They're going to have Virginia Tech in West Lafayette, I think, in 2015. They're going to Blacksburg in 2023. These weren't announced yesterday, but they have a home-and-home with Nevada as well, and they still got the home date with Cincinnati from last year's away game. But right off the bat, Pops, you know, as someone who's been a fan longer than I have, has Purdue brought in these type of opponents? When is the last time Purdue brought in these type of non-conference opponents?
Well, I suppose it'd be Oregon. I guess you could debate that issue, but I can't think off the top of my head a name program has come in. I was kind of hoping that Tiller would when he was here, but it just never got to that. And, you know, I think with the BCS going away in this new format of the plus four, it puts more emphasis on strength of schedule. So as I've mentioned before, LSU already has a contract to go into Wisconsin. So it behooves universities to up their schedule and stop playing, you know, north, east, south, western state, because it just is not going to do anything, which is Ohio State's usually who they play. Wisconsin plays schools like that. So it's a nice start. And I hope that for the love of God, that this university or this football program is up to the task of at least being competitive, because the last thing I want to see is, instead of getting beat 40-0 or whatever, 54 or whatever it was to Northern Illinois, to see somebody like Missouri come in here and make it 60-0. That would really be depressing.
That is my fear too, and I think reasonably. Obviously, you're looking at it after this season, but just to start with, I know for me, I immediately got excited. I mean, Virginia Tech, Missouri, they're coming to West Lafayette. Those are premier name schools. I mean, just look at what Missouri did this year. And do you think this has something to do with Hazel re-energizing the fan base? Because, like you said, you can't really think. And I would debate that Oregon, because I don't even think they were really all that good at the time that Purdue played them. I think they were just on the precipice of becoming a top 25 team. So, I mean, this has to be a fan move, a recruiting move. I mean, these games have to be on TV. I guess Purdue has to be good enough to get them there, but I don't think Missouri can go out of conference and not get on television, or Virginia Tech for that matter.
I think it's about the program. It's about the fans. It's about upgrading pretty much every aspect of this program. And I hope, and I don't know, but I hope that this means that Hazel's going to be here longer than, let's say, he gets his program maybe even to 8 wins, possibly 9, just in theory. And then all of a sudden, let's say a big name program comes knocking, because that was kind of the expectation. What you're getting a guy, you know, a smaller university to come up, and it was just Purdue would has to be construed nothing more than a stepping stone. But I hope that it means that he's going to be here long term, or at least fulfill his contract.
Tyler, what are your thoughts on the scheduling thing? They're adding Missouri, Virginia Tech. Like I said, Nevada wasn't announced yesterday, but they have a home-and-home with Nevada as well, which is not a terrible D1 program.
It speaks to the fact that they're listening to the 4-plus, because the playoff committee said that they would take more into picking schedule difficulty than exactly. They also said they'd also want to pick conference champions, which seems to contradict each other a little bit. But they would be paying attention to that, which is something that most SEC teams do. Some SEC teams don't do that. And what a surprise, they get in routinely. And one of the biggest arguments is strength of schedule. And that's always going to come in your favor, because even if you lose, you could say, well, we weren't afraid to go out and play a big team, even if we lost.
Yeah, I mean, Pops, you touched on it. I got to think that's the biggest reason that Missouri and Virginia Tech signed these deals too, right? Purdue looks better than an FCS school or some of those other low-end schools. That UMass is a new D1 school, right? Because it's a Big Ten school, so you can play a better non-conference opponent. But at this point in time, let's be honest, granted it's a few years, it still looks like a fairly gimme win for some. Virginia Tech's off a little bit, but still very strong programs.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a step up to a certain extent for those Virginia Tech and Missouri over maybe like playing Southeastern Missouri State or Missouri State or some of those low programs. But, you know, now it's just up to Purdue to make this, to do what they have to do to get better. I mean, and from the love of God, from last year to next year, it I don't think it'll take much to get better. You just hope by the time these come in that they're pushing. You know, this is a program that really should be a bowl team every year. Just with there's so many bowls, it's just gotten to the point of ludicrousness. And to not be able to go 6-6 or 7-5, you know, that's my hope. But I think with Hazel, I think I'm hoping for some 7-5, 8-4s. And if the schedule falls right, like we're looking this week, no Ohio State, no Michigan, what, for 4 years?
It's like 3 or 4, yeah.
That's a big bonus, and you know, you hope you can get this thing running and make a serious run in the division they're in the Big Ten.
Well, this is going to be a big boost to that too, right? Because if you'd happen to swing one of those upsets in a year, because you know it is football any given Sunday or any given Saturday, you put these opponents on your thing, and maybe more than likely you lose time and time again. But if you get that one upset that 1 year, maybe that's the difference between a 7-5 season and a special 9-3 or 10-2 season.
Yeah, but again, it's up to the Hazel to recruit and make this program to the point that it can be at least. I think you'd be hoping for close to break even next year. Is kind of a, you know, I don't know if you could go out and say 8 wins, but I think if you could get 5 or 6 wins next year, then I think you're trending in the right direction. But this is nice to think about. But I think, you know, I think this is about 2 or 3 steps down the road. So I think let's focus upon this, getting this team better and getting them close to being able to be 6-6 and bowl eligible.
All right, but let's move down to Indy, because the big game in the NBA this past week was Pacers and Heat, and the Heat win. And Pops, let me just get your first initial impressions of it, because to me it seemed like the Pacers were in control for pretty much the entire game, kind of got uptight and then let it slip away. Is that kind of what you took away, or do you see something different?
I would think that the Pacers are going to be tough to play anywhere, and from what I sound like, it was a contested game. And I mean, I heard for the first time, LeBron really got angry at Chalmers and looked like he was going to go after him and contested himself. And really, he never really shows his emotions like that. So that would tell me that it was extremely contested, and the Heat probably really wanted this game. I think they probably thought they had to win on home, and they probably did, simply because they're the two-time defending champion, and you got a Pacers team that's trying to. That's there is their number one competition. So it wouldn't, you know, I don't think it would look good to lose at home. So I think, not saying the Pacers didn't play, but I think more of the want of this game was probably in the Heat's court, and they won. You held service. I mean, it was a close game. Obviously, the Pacers proved that, you know, they could go down there and contend, and had things gone the right way, pull one off.
Todd, let me get your initial thoughts on the game.
One of the things I remember most about the game was that people were talking about the whole, oh, everyone wrote off Dwayne Wade, and he still got in the tank. And I thought, that's not really what the discussion was. The discussion wasn't that he couldn't play and put up 30 points. The discussion was he couldn't play and put up 30 points several games in a row. And I thought, this game doesn't matter for what Dwayne Wade did. It matters. It's congratulations if he can do that game one, game two of the conference. Game 6-7, he's probably going to disappear, which is going to be what's going to bring the team down, is that they have a shooting guard who can't play every game. And he is a superstar, but he's too old for the game, and that he can't play 90 to 100 games this year. And that's going to hurt him.
That is a good point, because I'm sure the meatball fans, as Pops likes to quote, and I'm sure some of the ESPN guys said, oh man, look at Wade, because he had a really good game. But I think Tyler hit the nail right on the head. How many games in a 7-game series, because I don't see how Pacers Heat doesn't go to 7, how many games in a 7-game series can Wade show up? Because they needed every one of those 32 points for this past evening. I mean, Pops, anything you want to add on that?
Well, I would just tell you that the purpose of this is to try to keep him so he can be ready for the playoffs. Now, if you take the finals last year, he came up big in 3 or 4 games. And when they needed him, and it was enough to win. I think LeBron was the heavy carry, and he has to be. He's clearly the best player, but they're going to need Wade two to three games, just because to be a secondary scorer. And obviously, I'm of the opinion that, quite honestly, the Pacers are going to be the most difficult of obstacle they face going forward, because I think the West just does not match up to either the Pacers or the Heat. So if they could get past the Pacers, which ought to be extremely highly contested, you know, we're talking about Bulls, Knicks, 93 East Finals, one of those things that I think it'll be okay. But Wade is kind of like that, you know, he's in a glass house and it's like break when you need him. And you can't do it all the time. But I think once the playoffs get here that he's just going to have to go out there and play. But I think if you could get probably three games out of him where he's a consistent secondary scorer, I think if the Heat can get past the Pacers, I think that'll probably be enough.
You said that, and I can't dispute it, but you said the one thing the Pacers really need this season is experience. Does a game like this show you that? Because it was a close one in Miami, and I agree with you. I think Miami really wanted it. And on top of that, do you think this is one of those, I don't want to say moral victories, but one of those good things for the Pacers to lose, to refocus after kind of running roughshod on the NBA for the first 2 months of the season?
Well, they're going to lose. I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, a good loss in basketball, I don't know. I think that's more of a football parlance, but I don't know if you take anything out of this other than the fact that they pushed them, but, you know, they pushed them last year, and it was seven games, and so I don't know if you could really say what they're getting out of this other than they just are playing as well as they have been playing. It's, I think had they been able to win, then I think you could say, well, that was the Pacers' statement game. I mean, it was kind of a statement game to win at home because the defending champs are coming in and they beat you last year. So that was one, and they handled them fairly easily after being down early. This, you push the Heat more than maybe they wanted to, and you saw the reaction from LeBron, which indicates maybe that he was not happy. And you just don't see that. So while I guess you could say we know we can play these guys hard, until they can go down there and win in Miami, I don't know if really what much you could take out of this other than it was a game probably against the team that you've got to beat in order to win the championship.
Tyler, just quickly before we move on from the Pacers Heat talk, anything that you took away from the game?
I think maybe it shows that the Pacers learned that it looks like the only way the Heat are going to really be able to win against them is that it's got to be, I guess, 100%, and that the Heat with the Pacers can't just lollygag a win. They can't do their normal like 80% and get by. That LeBron has got to just push everybody to the max, and I guess that really questions is, can he get a seven-game series and get four wins of pushing everybody to the max? Can they get four of those games from everybody?
Pops, I don't want to spend too long on this because this could be a whole podcast by itself, but I want to ask you, as someone who's been a fan of the NBA for quite a bit and a big Michael Jordan fan, I want to ask you about LeBron James's legacy, because I think as a family, we were pretty critical on the guy, and I think rightfully so. Now, I'll be honest, the Heat decision did upset me at the beginning, but it's one of the family cliches in terms of sports is that just at some point you got to stand back and appreciate greatness because you don't get to see talents like LeBron James every day. But I want to ask you about his legacy because he's going to be compared to Jordan for his entire career, and he's starting to make headway. He's got more MVPs than him. I think he's ahead of him in terms of scoring. He's made finals quicker in his years in the league. I know he's younger, but he made his first two rings before Jordan did in terms of the years that they've been playing. I mean, what do you think as someone who's a big Jordan fan?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could say all that he's on track to maybe, in theory, better Michael, but I'm thinking, and he's due his just deserves as one of the greatest players ever, and he gets my respect, and I think I appreciate him now as a player and someone who just goes out and plays hard and just wants to win. But, you know, but until he gets close to Michael in titles, and you could talk points, but I think Michael missed what the equivalent of probably 3 years or so because of retiring, and he missed most of one season because of that broken foot. And I'm not willing to put him to Michael as the great. To me, Michael is the gold standard. And people are going to argue Bill Russell and stuff like that. Yeah, I'd have to put Russell up there. But I think the NBA's changed so much. There's so much more competition that Russell and the Celtics didn't quite have to play as much playoff games as Michael did. And to me, Michael's is still the best. I still watch, you know, video games on ESPN Classic and marvel at his just determination and drive to win. And I think LeBron is starting to get that, you know, and he will take games over. But Michael is the ultimate clutch player. I mean, if you need one basket to win, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
MJ.
Can I ask you a quick question? I don't want this to sound biased, but it's just kind of my personal opinion. And I don't know, because obviously when I'm watching Jordan, I was at a very young age. But to me, when I think of Jordan, I think of Barkley, I think of Ewing, I think of all those Hall of Fame players. And when I think of LeBron, there's Wade, who's on his team. There's Kobe. There's Howard. There's great players. But to me, the competition just isn't the same. Am I wrong in that just because these guys, I'm trying to shade it one way, or is that how you feel as well?
No, I think Michael had to climb over. He had to first get past the Pistons, who had Isaiah. Then he had the Lakers towards the end, which he really didn't. I guess you, but they got, in theory, they had to beat the Lakers in Magic. And then you had Barkley. You had Patrick Ewing in the Knicks. You had Stockton and Malone in Utah. Even Olajuwon was there, who it would have been interesting had Michael played and Houston made the finals in 94-95, how that would have turned out. You had the Orlando team with Shaq and Penny Hardaway. I think that, yeah, Michael had to go through a lot more of teams and more higher competition than what's going on here now, because you have a Spurs team that, while they're, you know, have, they're great, they're just not in their prime. The Lakers team with Kobe, they're not in their prime. They're on their way down. You do have Durant. Durant just has not taken that step up to where he's in LeBron's conversation. I guess he's in the neighborhood. He just doesn't live next to LeBron. LeBron is clearly the alpha male.
Yeah.
In the East, you know, you had Derrick Rose, but God knows what's going on. And I'm just willing not even to put Rose and LeBron in the same conversation unless I'm saying, yes, they both play in the NBA. And now you have a Pacers team with a Paul George who looks like the next best player, next greatest player in the NBA. He hasn't taken that step yet. I don't even know if he's even to Durant's level. Like, he's closer to Durant's level than LeBron. But if LeBron had some younger teammates, it's going to be curious to see what happens, because Wade doesn't have much left and Bosch is just overrated. What's he going to do? Where's he going to go if he wants to win titles? Because if he stays with this Heat team, it's going to be like the Boston team with Bird and McHale and Paris that just got old, got slow, and just lost. And yeah, I would, back to your question, Michael had a lot more and tougher, stiffer competition. Just take a look at the first Dream Team. That was guys he had to beat to win an NBA title. And it's just clear that the competition level for Michael to win six titles was higher than what it was for LeBron to win titles. I'm not trying to denigrate anything about LeBron. It's just the facts.
That's why I asked, because that's the immediate response, is that because the LeBron-Jordan discussion is so heated that the minute you say anything, it's like, oh, you're just trying to bash on LeBron. That's why I asked, because you would obviously have a better knowledge of that than I would. The last thing I want to ask is, I brought it up with you. I mentioned it, I'm probably going to write about it, is how the NBA moves in kind of mini dynasties, I don't know if you want to call it that, new waves or people take over. And I gave you the example because somebody brought it up on ESPN. That was an amazing point, is, you know, you had the Pistons and Isaiah take it over from what, McHale and the Celtics. And then you had, you know, there was the Lakers in there, and they kind of, you have these guys step up and take it over, and then they're the head dogs for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, you had the Pistons hand it off to the Bulls, and the Bulls disappear, and you have the Laker teams under Jackson, and then they disappear, and you have the Spurs, and you have these like mini dynasties. Do you think the Pacers are on their way to possibly winning 2 or 3 in a row? Because, or is it possible the Pacers may be the Thunder, because everyone thought it was going to be Thunder Heat for the next 5 years, and we saw where that got us.
I think they're to the point of the Thunder, and that the Thunder and the Heat played a couple years ago in the finals, and the Thunder have since traded Harden away simply because of salary cap restrictions. The Pacers are there. It's really up to them. Can they beat LeBron and Wade? And time would suggest that, yes, maybe after this year, certainly in a couple of years, but can they keep this? If they can't this year, can the Pacers keep this team together because of the salary cap restrictions and everything that are coming in, and the amount of tax you have to pay when you go over the threshold? And that's the key. If they don't win it this year, and if they don't win it next year, I don't know how much longer they're going to keep this team together, because of you at some point, you know, you're paying Hibbert quite a bit, and you're paying West quite a bit. You know, you're going to have to pay Paul George, and he's going to get max.
He got his extension.
Okay, well,
he's got his max deal. Stevenson is next.
Well, anyway, and salary cap, the way it is, it suggests that it's tougher to keep these great teams together unless you keep your intimate core. But at some point, they're going to, in a couple, 2 or 3 years, I'm assuming, they're going to have to make a difficult decision. just like the Heat are this year. I mean, obviously they're going to keep Wade as long as LeBron stays. Will they bring back Bosch? I don't know. That's a question. And again, if the Pacers don't win it this year, next year, then I'm going to start wondering, are they really good, but basically nothing more than the Oklahoma City Thunder? That means they could win 55 to 60 games, but when it comes to playoffs, just can't close the deal.
Tyler, what do you think about that? The NBA seems to move in waves, but, you know, as Pops was just talking about, as I brought up, we thought that it was going to be Thunder Heat for the next 5 years, Durant and LeBron, and Durant can't get back.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to start saying that the Pacers are the Thunder yet, because they haven't made it to the finals yet. I'm more inclined to say that they are the Warriors and the Bulls, where they got to a conference championship, everyone's like, okay, next level, and then we haven't seen the next level with the Warriors yet and the Pacers. We don't know what's going to happen this year, but they're at that point where now everyone was like, oh my gosh, the Warriors, and then now it's like the Warriors can't do anything, and the Warriors are falling apart in the West, and I'm more inclined to think the Pacers will, just on the fact that the Heat, the East is just terrible, and it's probably a better... It's more likely that they'll get to championships, but I'd call them similar to what the Bulls are at this point in that they haven't got to the finals yet. They did that conference. They got to the conference finals, pushed the Heat. That's what the Bulls did. Now let's see what they do this year in the playoffs. Oh, everything's wrong.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between five games and seven games.
Bulls did not push the Heat. They won one game, and then after that, they were out to lunch.
I make analogies that are similar. If my analogy isn't exact, which doesn't happen in the real world, Pops, it works. The point is that it's close. That is close. No, tell me who they are and give me specifics, because if you tell me and it's like this slight, I'm going to say, no, it needs to be this slight, meaning exact.
I think that the Pacers are better than the Golden State. Golden State is like Denver a few years ago, or Phoenix about 5 years ago. They look really good. They're entertaining. They put up points. They couldn't spell defense if you spotted them in the DEF, all right? And when they get to the playoffs, they just fizzle out because that's when you've got to play defense. And I think they're closer to Oklahoma City, and I'll tell you this, because if the Pacers were in the West, they would get and play the Heat for last year and this year, okay? And if Oklahoma City was in the East, they would not get past the Heat.
No. All right, let's move on. We mentioned today we kind of got, I don't want to say off track, I just did the legacy question I really wanted to ask. We're moving on to the college football post-game games of football that are not the big boy January games. That we're talking about everything that's before 2014, picking out some interesting ones, because we're going to talk about mainly the BCS Bowls next week because we have time to get those in. So I'm going to kick it to Tyler because he's the one that wanted to do Bowl Mania.
And we're not going to kick it to Pops because he did not. All right, we got to talk. USC game that's on head of the docket. Unfortunately, Hawaii didn't make it, so we can't talk about that game.
I know you're probably upset about
Boise
that.
Boise State, Oregon State. Have you seen their basketball courts? It's awesome. But moving on.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with this bowl season that you want to talk about.
BYU, Washington, Miami, Louisville. Cincinnati, North Carolina is not bad.
How about, as opposed to just scrolling down and picking games, we pick some ones that are actually relatively interesting?
All right, Oregon, Texas is definitely. And I think we need to pick Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, because Ole Miss was Pops' SEC surprise team, and my SEC surprise team is sitting at the top of the championship game.
We're picking all the games. What are you talking about?
Surprise,
just picking one.
You made to make that claim.
Pops, what do you think about the Oregon-Texas game? Because I believe Mac Brown's getting his last run. You got to think Oregon's disappointed with how they finished the season. This one, to me, screams Texas wins comfortably because Oregon doesn't want to be there.
This one screams I'm not going to pay attention to
it. Spectacular. That's your great answer.
I mean, it's on December 30th. What more could you want out of a bowl game?
I'll see what's on PBS. You would think that, that Texas, I guess, is going to give Mac Brown this send-off, I suppose, in Oregon. Well, you know, since they did not get into the BCS, probably could care less. There's a long track record of teams not getting into the BCS that just really don't show up to games. So I'm going to go with Texas, but I'll be on Oregon's side. I'm not going to watch this game either.
What do you think about the Blue Devils matchup against Texas A&M? Because you hear that at first, and I think most people think, meh. But really, number 22 against number 20, really not a terrible matchup.
I also think, meh. But also, is A&M going to show up and care? That's the question.
That's a good point.
And is Manziel going to, be there? Is he going to be too busy signing autographs?
I think it's more worth watching for the fact that it's worth seeing.
Yeah, I was done talking, Tyler. Go ahead.
It seemed like it. You took a breath. I feel like I at least want to watch that game to watch Duke at 10 wins. I mean, when's the next time we're going to see that? It's like saying, when's the next time Notre Dame's going to win a national championship? Probably never, which is just, it's right on par with being right and morally sound.
Which is basically your claim on everything, right?
Oh, yes.
I'm going to break it because these are January 1st games here, but I have some interesting, I wanted to, you got the Outback Bowl and the Gator Bowl, which are two of the SEC Big Ten ones, and the reason I wanted to bring them up is because you have the Tigers and Bulldogs, 14 and 23, going up against Iowa and Nebraska, respectively, and obviously both quarterbacks out because they tore their ACLs. Do you think that, maybe it's a little bit SEC bias, but do you think they're in danger of not showing up? Because I got to think, both teams kind of had fairly high expectations. LSU, maybe not so much, but I think that was more the media. I think the team had higher expectations where they finished.
Yeah, unfortunately, these two met about, what, 05, 06, and Iowa somehow beat LSU. For the love of God, I hope LSU just beats the living hell out of Iowa. I hate Iowa. That's another team that I can't stand. Let's hope that LSU shows up and just runs it right down their throats.
Well, in LSU's defense, Jennings is going to be their starting quarterback. Oh, he's a true freshman, and he's supposed to be highly touted. He's going to be the starter next year. So it's not like they're going in with, I guess, a guy. He's had some experience, and he led game-winning touchdown against Arkansas at the end of the regular season. So he's had some experience. He's never started a game, but he's talented. So why don't you like Iowa?
I had to work with some guys who just talked about Iowa, and it was like God's country. And I'm like, you just grow corn there. How could it be that interesting?
What does Iowa stand for, Pops?
Idiots out walking around.
Wait, why do the trees in Illinois lean west?
Because Iowa sucks.
Pops, are there any games?
Thank you for setting me up.
That he was doing you a favor. Is there any games you're going to watch before January 1st?
I typically watch the Rose Bowl because I grew up watching it, at least for the first quarter, then I'll lose interest. Not, I don't know. I mean, it depends what, if there's literally anything on that day. It's possible, but not likely.
Okay, then, without talking too much, because you're obviously going to pick a Big Boy Bowl, is there a game you're looking forward to most than perhaps the national championship game? Is there a matchup you're more interested in seeing?
No.
Okay, then what would be your second bowl, then, if the national championship's your number one?
Again, probably the Rose Bowl, and I might scroll back and forth on like the two SEC Big Ten matchups, you know, in the what was it, the Outback Bowl, and the other one's the Capital One Bowl.
Yeah, and you got Wisconsin and South Carolina in the Capital One.
Thrills Bill. I'd like CLSU. Like I said, I like CLSU just run all over Iowa.
I think I'm with you. I think the national championship game is for sure the one. Cotton Bowl looks really good. With Missouri and Oklahoma State. The one I think I'm most interested in is, if it wasn't just the national championship, I think the Rose Bowl, I think, is an interesting matchup just because it's Stanford and Michigan State, that's two physical teams. I'm kind of curious to see what Alabama does, to see if they show up angry, if they show up not happy that they didn't get the national championship.
I was going
to
say, that the more I thought about it, that's probably one I'll watch because of that very reason. Are they going to show up, or are they just going to be, eh? You know, I can't imagine that Saban is going to allow them to go through the paces. I can't imagine.
He's got to be pissed.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Tyler, what about you? What are some of the, I guess, other bowls you're looking forward to if the national championship isn't the one you're looking forward to most?
I really like the Cotton Bowl. I really want to see Missouri, Oklahoma State, because those are two teams that easily could have been playing. Those either could have been like 3-4. I mean, they're both really good. It's going to be, sure should be a really high scoring game. Not interested in watching the Orange Bowl whatsoever with Clemson, Ohio State. I don't know. I think the Fiesta Bowl is going to be a lot better than people give it credit for. I don't know how to say his name. Bortles or Boyle, something like that, of UCF. He's supposed to be pretty good. If what I've heard, if he comes out this year, he will possibly could be a first-round pick. So I think that game is probably going to be better than people think it's going to be.
All right, we'll take a look at those ones, the big BCS bowls, and really the bigger Big Ten SEC ones, because right there in the Outback Bowl, obviously, you get some matchups there. Our BCS quality, but due to the rules, as Pops criticized last time, with the only getting two teams in from a conference, you kind of get those good non-BCS bowls. We're doing Bowl Mania. Tyler wanted to do it, so we're doing it. We're picking all the bowl games 1 week at a time, so you can check those out. We'll add another week here coming up. 3sportsguns.com to find those. Facebook and Twitter to get the updates on our stories. You can find the QR scanner on the About page of 3 Sports Guns, and then all the podcasts are available on iTunes. That's going to do it this week. I'm Blair Gunther.
Tyler Gunther.
Mac Brown, and please come watch my last game.
Watch out for the pitch.